porque siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas en la
Hello everyone, welcome back to Partido a Partido podcast, the English speaking podcast about all things Atleti. We have our guest back, Maxi. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. Very excited for the Partidazo we have tomorrow in Anfield. We have good memories there, and yeah, I'm sure you can remember that as well.
Yeah, I'm still having nightmares about it. No, great. I did an article at work yesterday about Marcos Llorente's game there and how everything changed for him after it. And yeah, man, that performance from him was so good.
Brilliant. So we can have another thing to look forward to reading that article after listening to this one. And Emmanuel, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good at coming from the Betis game in which Atleti were at their best. And like you said, heading to a Partizano, I'm hoping Atleti can be at their best and take 3 points, because those points will be vital for Atleti going out of the group stage in the Atleti qualifying from the group stage in the Champions League.
Brilliant. So you just mentioned the Betis game. So can you please give us a quick review of that game?
Well, the game against Betis this weekend at the Wanda Metropolitano was basically Atleti's best game this season. Well, Atleti did not really start the game well, in the fact that Betis were quick, passed the ball well, and Rodri caused problems, and Betis had the first shot on target. But after the first 5 minutes, Atleti settled down. They pressed wisely. Betis really played with three center forward. They played in the forward three with their three attackers trying to match the three center backs of Atleti. But Atleti did brilliant in the game, given that Koke and Depor slotted just behind, but in between the lines in which they could have received. So that made Atleti surpass Betis's first line of press, and after that, we see Depor playing balls between the lines, Koke playing balls between the lines to pick out Correa and this man who facilitated the attack. The overall, it was a very good game for Betis, because Atleti were able to have play on the right-hand side and switch it over to the left. And that was brilliant, because Carrasco, like we said in previous podcast, Carrasco is at his best when he receives the ball facing the opposition. And he gave Montoya a completely nightmare. Montoya could not contain him. Even when he had support, Carrasco just dribbled his way through. And that was how the first goal came about, with the fact that Carrasco received the ball after a switch. And what happened is that he could now have one-on-one with Montoya. He dribbled past Montoya and sent a rocket into the roof of the net. Something Bravo could not stop. And Atleti continued controlling the game, despite the fact that they took their foot off the pedal a bit, but they had everything in control. Kept on playing between the lines. Correa and Griezmann just caused a lot of problems for Betis, because they overcrowded the midfield. It was basically a 4v3 with Griezmann, Correa, Koke, and Rodrigo de Paul against the three midfielders of Betis. Atleti did brilliantly to silence Betis' main threat, which was Canales. I've never seen a game in which Canales was so quiet, and that was thanks to the job of Atleti's midfield and the defense. So basically, in the second half, Atleti came out, did the same things, but they were defending a little bit deeper, but still in the mid block, not in a high block as it was in the first half. They had chances to maybe score 2-3, but it did not come, and Atleti scored from a set piece, which was an own goal. But that game was not only good for the fact that Atleti performed brilliantly with the ball, but it was also good because Atleti were so dangerous from set pieces, and which was a positive. And it is great going into the game against Liverpool, because Liverpool are one of the teams who are really typical to deal with set pieces, and you can use set pieces can be a way for us to break in the game or score a goal. So Felix came on, he has been brilliant since he came back from injury, and he had a goal which just put the icing on the cake for Atleti's performance. Overall, it was a very good game for Atleti, especially given the last three games in which they have had periods where they have been good and bad. But in this game against Betis, they were good for a large part of the game.
Yeah, brilliant. And you have mentioned everything, really. There was so much improvement in that Betis game over the previous two matches Atletico had against Larreal and against Levante. While I wouldn't say the performance against Real Sociedad was really poor. It was just Lariel having a very good plan to counter Atletico's, and had a perfect execution with both Sarloth and Isaac terrorizing the defense and scoring and getting so many opportunities on the counter, scoring from one of them. It was a performance to forget for Jan Oblak, which we can't really say that often. He made, I would say that the first goal was his mistake, and he could have done better on the free kick from Isaac. But overall, I think what Atletico lacked in that match was a Kondogbia kind of player to control the midfield and prevent the counters. And we saw his introduction in the second half, which added so much control for Atletico's midfield and allowed them to settle in and improve so much in the second half and get two goals and equalize the game. But the issues in midfield continued against Levante when Simeone started Koke and Herrera together, which I think it's evident that pairing doesn't really work. Since you know, Herrera doesn't really do a lot of work to assist Koke, who, you know, has the entire pitch to cover. Koke is much more comfortable playing with Marcos Llorente, Thomas Lemar, and Rodrigo De Paul, who really takes so much pressure off his shoulders, right, Emmanuel?
Yes, I agree with you on that. Like, Koke has played the entire of last season for Atleti, missing just few games. Was crucial for Spain reaching the semi-final of the Euros. It's not really have a lot of time to rest, and he's back. Well, it's also that coupled that with also the fact that Koke is getting old, so he doesn't have the leg like you mentioned. When he plays next to Llorente and Lemar, he knows that he's mainly in charge of stopping what comes centrally. But when now he plays with the likes of maybe Llorente in a double pivot, or maybe with Herrera in a double pivot, he's a little bit lost because he has a lot of ground to cover, a lot of work on his shoulder. And for example, there was counter-attack against the match against Levante, and he was the one chasing Jose Luis Morales. And all of us know who is going to be the winner, despite the fact that Morales is older than him. But we know, even at 30+, Morales caused a lot of troubles for defenders or for positions. So I think Cholo has to set his team or maybe find a balance in midfield, because that is what it has been missing in recent games. And if he can do that, then that would be fantastic for Atleti. Like you said, playing next to maybe Kondogbia or De Paul in a midfield pivot, that is good because those guys share his burden with a defensive job. And going back to the improvement, like what you said about Atleti improved from the past two games, I think one of the improvements that many are not noticing, which technically for me it is sad because I really like Felipe, is the fact that Atleti's backline with and without Felipe are two different things. I think with Felipe, you see the team not really having that confidence in maybe defending high, because Felipe is a little bit sloppy. I don't know where the Felipe from the first season at Atleti has gone to. He's not good at stalling. He dives into challenges. He's so insecure at the moment. So there are two types of Atleti backline. Well, it's not all his fault because the midfield has not been doing the job, that they easily bypass, and that means they can easily meet Atleti's backline, but Felipe just gives insecurity to Atleti's defense.
All right. And another thing we can mention is how many players stepped up in the game against Paris. And while they weren't at their best, Maxi knows how tough it is to face an organized Pellegrini side. From yeah. You know, he's had a lot of experience with that. But yeah, I would say Griezmann, De Paul, Felix, Correa, Carrasco, all of them really had an exceptional performance, and we hope to see more of that in the upcoming matches. So that covers Atletico's form, but Maxi, can you tell us what's Liverpool's form coming into the game on Wednesday?
Yeah, so since the last time we spoke, the first game we played after the Athletic game was the thrashing of Manchester United on Old Trafford. a brilliant game, to be honest, from every player, but it also is much due to United not being good at all. So yeah, that obviously that. Then we had a pretty solid win over Preston North End in the cup, but we rotated pretty much there and played a lot of, you know, backup players and junior players. So I wouldn't make too much of that game. But then this weekend we played Brighton at home, and it looked good in the beginning, a quick 2-0 lead. We conceded two, and in the end, game ended 2-2. And a tie. So yeah, I would say overall these games a bit defensively unstable, at least in the Brighton game. And I think that is much due to Fabinho not playing. He inserts a defensive stability, you know, between the defense and the attack. And when he's missing, you see it pretty fast. But he's back until the Atleti game. I don't know if he will start, but I suspect he might do so, because James Milner and Naby Keita are out. So yeah, that in short form, that's pretty much how it's gone for Liverpool since we last saw each other at the Wanda Metropolitano.
And I remember you told us after that game that that was one of the poorest performances for Liverpool of the season. Do you think Klopp has addressed the issues Liverpool had in that game? Or have they not really faced a similar type of opponent?
Yeah, I would mainly say so, that we haven't faced a similar type of opponent, because, you know, Atleti are organized, very intense, and since we played you guys, we haven't really played that type of opposition. But yeah, I think that he has addressed it, in the games thereafter. I felt the team was more focused and in the game. But then, as I mentioned earlier, Fabinho was out, so the team became a bit unstable, which you could see very well against Brighton, that we conceded two goals home at Anfield, and that's been an issue, I would say. The unstable midfield, and then I speak defensively, of course. So it will be interesting how Klopp addresses it for the game tomorrow. I feel confident about it, I would say.
And are there, you told us Fabinho is back, Milner and Naby Keita will not be available. What's the state of the other players? Are there any other injuries, or is everyone back fit for Liverpool?
Yeah, so Thiago has trained, but Klopp said, I think it was maybe a week ago, that he wasn't ready to play right away. Now it's been a week, and in his press conference today, Klopp said that he has trained as normal. So I suspect we might see him tomorrow. I don't think he will play from kickoff. Maybe a sub on in the second half or something like that. So yeah, I think we might see Thiago, but as far as I'm aware, everyone is available except Naby Keita and James Milner.
A fully fit Liverpool is a very rare sight to see. So now speaking about injuries and players not being available, Emmanuel, Atletico have Griezmann and Savic out as they're suspended. How much do you see their absence affecting Atletico? Now, we saw Savic return for the game against Paris and Atletico getting their first clean sheet in such a long time. So I think Savic's absence would be felt just as much as Griezmann's now, right?
Yes, I agree with you on that. I think at the game against Betis, you could see GPA was one of the players who stepped up. He was more effective in the game than in previous game, and that was because he had confidence in Savic covering up for him. But with Felipe, he doesn't have the same thing. And as for Griezmann, well, I think we are going to miss his tactical intelligence because Griezmann is one of the... He may not be as talented as, say, Neymar or the likes of Fati, but I think Griezmann is one of the players who is very intelligent, and we are going to miss that intelligence. If you notice in the attack line, we don't have so many runners, and he's one of those guys who runs in behind. I think he struggled earlier on with the fact that he couldn't fit into it. He was looking for how to get fit into the team, and you could see him occupying the wider position on the right, stopping Trippier from maybe making a forward run or into the right-hand space, stopping Llorente from making a run. But I think now he has fit into the team, and with him in the pitch, I think we see a better version of Felix. So he's going to be a big miss for Atleti.
And the other players which will not be available are Llorente and Kondogbia. Now Llorente out from his favorite stadium, the one. I mean, he named a dog he bought Anfield after that game in which I'm not sure how Liverpool fans feel about that.
Yeah, it's honestly looking back at it now, it's a funny thing to do, I would say, but I wasn't so happy about it right after.
I mean, look at it as a tribute more than him, you know, making fun maybe of the team.
Yeah, I choose to do that.
All right. So he's out, and Kondogbia will not be available. Now we just mentioned, Emmanuel, that the game against La Real, Atletico were getting La Real were getting past their midfield a little too easily, especially on the counter. So how much do you see his absence affecting the team?
Well, I don't think Liverpool would do a similar thing to La Real, because La Real did what Villarreal has done to most teams this season. That is, they held the ball, nobody's pressing, you see the goalkeeper passing to the centre-back passing back to the goalkeeper. What are they doing? They are inviting you to press. When they invite you to press, you are pressed, and since Atleti's press was not coordinated, what they exploited the spaces behind the press, you see Romero frequently finding the free player, and I don't think Liverpool would do that, because I think Liverpool are more of a team about verticality. They want the quickest route to goal, and more of a pressing team. That means they want to play in your half. But La Real came with a game plan of attracting Atleti, attracting him to a high line, and then hitting on the counter with the pace of Isak and Charlotte. So I don't expect Liverpool to do a similar thing, but like I've already said before, Savic not being there, Kondogbia not being there, and Griezmann also not being there affects Atleti, everyone on the pitch, being in midfield, attack or defense, because Kondogbia provides that defensive security. Even if he doesn't start, we know that he can come in and, like you said, in the game against La Real, balance things up. Or maybe Savic is there, he gives Trippier that freedom and that license to go up front. Griezmann not being there also is another huge blow. But with Correa, I think we have somebody who has been very good, in my opinion, one of Atleti's best, if not the best performer this season. Just that he has been under the radar. And against Betis, that was very evident. And also, we are going to miss Llorente, to be very honest, because he's one of the only players who stretches opposition defense with Rod. And him being there on the right of Atleti would obviously weaken Liverpool's left-hand side. I'm thinking of Robertson and him putting crosses into the box, but you'll be more aware of Llorente's pace and Trippier picking him out. So I think Atleti are going to the game with a good squad, but not at their best, not the best squad, because I, to be honest, I was confident if we had Llorente in the first leg and with Liverpool's Highland and with the post passing, oh God, to be honest, it's like I'm in Wonderland imagining that. So I think in that game against Liverpool, we not having him is a big miss, because I still expect them to be fantastic. So, well, it's going to be a very big loss for the guy whose name is Doug Anfield.
All right. Now, moving on. We're going to cover the Suarez debate again. In the game against Liverpool at home, Simeone decided to bench him in order to have both Felix and Griezmann on the pitch, and we saw how well that worked. Brings us back to the old should Suarez be a super sub kind of player. But now that Griezmann is not available, do you think Simeone will start him, or do you think he'll line up with Correa and Felix? Now, Correa does not have the same goal-scoring ability as Griezmann, so how well do you think that would work?
Well, basically, I know Correa is not as clinical as Griezmann, like I already said, but, well, he has been very effective in front of goal when he's had the opportunities this season. So I'm confident that if he has those opportunities, I think he's going to score. So I don't see much difference in not having him or Griezmann, because those are players who will die for Cholo, who will give their all for Cholo. And I'm also in favor of Cholo not starting Suarez again at Anfield. Well, against Betis, his link-up play improved. Though his link-up and holding play improved according to previous game, and that is me seeing signs that, well, he has been using the previous games as preseason games and he's finally getting fit. I know he has been scoring, but overall play has been very poor. And against Liverpool, we are not going to be having that chance of maybe trying to launch an attack, and his poor touch or poor pass gives Liverpool the chance. And Liverpool are a team that thrive on chaos. So to be honest, I don't want him starting. I know he's our best player when it comes to in the box, but against Liverpool, we'll mostly be playing on the counter. So going for Felix and Correa will be great. Correa likes to have the ball more than Griezmann, but I think he's also a player who can run him behind. So having Correa and Felix up top will be do it. I'm okay with that.
Well, the predicted lineups, point towards Correa, Felix, and Suarez starting all with each other. Simeone will keep on trying the 3-4-3 formation, apparently, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. So we'll guess we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Maxi, what are your thoughts on facing Luis Suarez again, a fan favorite at Anfield?
Yeah, you know, I always dread facing Luis Suarez, because he's such a good player, and you know, at Liverpool, I've always claimed that the season in, I think, at 2013-14, when Liverpool were fighting for the Premier League title, I would say that without Luis Suarez and of course Daniel Sturridge, Liverpool wouldn't be near the title, mainly because of Luis Suarez, because he decided games on his own, and you know, his scoring stats they speak for themselves. So I always fear facing Luis Suarez, and he's not like such a player who depends on his speed or anything like that. He's a smart player, and especially in the box. So yeah, I would rather not play him, but I think it's a smart move from Simeone to start him if that's the case.
We could have said that it would be a similar situation to the one he had against Koeman and Barca, but unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not sure, he left Liverpool on good terms, so I'm not sure how motivated he would be to score against them. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, But you know, I also think that it would be smart to start Joao Felix and Correa, because if you want to beat Liverpool, you have to play smart. Physically, Liverpool are better defensively than most teams, I would say, because of Virgil van Dijk and Ibrahima Konate or Joel Matip, if that's the case. You have to play smart to score, and I really hold Ángel Correa high there. I think he's a very smart player, and I think it would be wise to start him as well.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be really a crazy thing for Simeone to start both Felix and Correa. In the last season, we saw that multiple times when Suarez was out, when he had COVID, and we had multiple big games won with that formation, including one against Barcelona, 1-0 at the Metropolitano. So, I'm not sure which one I would choose, since you know, Suarez is obviously the best finisher, but a Correa and Felix partnership up front would definitely, you know, would definitely not be a bad one for Atletico. Maxi, what's your expected lineup for Liverpool against Atletico?
Speaking historically, I think that Klopp might rotate some players, because you know, in the past when we had like an advantage, he's tended to rotate a bit, and I think he might do that tomorrow. And if he does, I could see Kostas Tsimikas and Diogo Jota start. But if not, I would say something along the lines of the same lineup as against Brighton. Obviously, Naby Keita is out now, so I think that either Curtis Jones or Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will step in his place. Maybe both, depending on how fit Fabinho is. So I think we will see something similar as against Atleti at the Wanda Metropolitano and against Brighton. But I do have a disclaimer that Klopp might rotate. And honestly, I wouldn't blame him, to be honest, because there are so many games right now, and Robertson and the front three have started so many games now. Trent was rested not too long ago, so yeah, perhaps it's a good thing to do, but I think it's hard to guess, because it could go either way.
Yeah, of course. Now you mentioned Curtis Jones, which has been playing a lot this season and last season. Can you tell us a bit about the breakthrough of the English youngster?
Yeah, of course. I think that this season you could see an improvement in Curtis Jones' decision making, and he feels like a more mature player this season, and especially more effective in the final third. In general, he's a player who works hard in both ends of the field, very technical, and he has what we call the scouse mentality. Like he's a very not cocky, but he's a very, very confident young man in the way he plays. You can see him trying disrespectful dribbles against some world-class players, and you absolutely love to see that. So, yeah, he's a technical, hard-working player, works well in both ends of the field, can play either on the wing or central, and he's been more effective this season when it comes to assists and goals. So it's been a great progress to see, and I think this is only the beginning for him.
Do you think Klopp will go for the same tactics he used in the first match, or do you think he'll try something new against Atletico?
I think that he will try to be more controlling of the game, have a bit more possession, and have the game on Liverpool's terms. I felt that at the Wanda Metropolitano we tried that to an amount, but we had respect for Atleti, which you should have, but I think Klopp wants Liverpool to be more controlling of the game at Anfield. And I also think, as we spoke about earlier, that he has learned a bit from his mistakes at the Wanda Metropolitano. So yeah, I think a bit more possession based and controlling, and try to have the game on our terms.
All right, brilliant. Of course, Salah and Mane, I think, are untouchable. But which one do you think Klopp will use? Is it Jota or Firmino?
Perhaps he will play Diogo Jota, because Firmino has started the last couple of games now, and you know, Jota is a very good player too, and you can't keep him on the bench for too long. And he's also earned a chance from especially the Manchester United performance. I would think that Jota will start, and you know, Salah and Mane are, as you said, untouchable. I think Klopp even said ahead of the Brighton game that it would be criminal to not start Mohamed Salah in this form.
Of course, yeah.
So that I would expect Salah, Mane, and Diogo Jota starting tomorrow night.
Okay, I think that covers it for the Liverpool expected lineup. Emmanuel, can you tell us about your expected lineup for Atletico?
Well, I'm basically expecting the same thing we saw at the Wanda, with the main difference being Griezmann is not around, and due to the suspension, and Correa enters for him. That's Oblak in goal, a back three of Felipe, Jose Maria, and Hermoso, and the wing backs will be Carrasco and Trippier, and in midfield we have Koke and Rodrigo de Paul, and ahead of Koke we have Koke, Rodrigo de Paul, and Joao, and ahead of them we have Felix, we have Correa. Well, I think I just messed up, but well, basically I'm expecting the same thing, to be honest. I just left my brain now, but I'm expecting the same similar lineup, that's a 3-5-2, and not maybe what you saw against Betis in a 3-4-3. So I'm basically expecting something similar to the 3-5-2, not the 3-4-3. Because, like I've already said before, we expect Aleti to play on the counter. And if Aleti get the first goal, I'm expecting something similar to what we had against Football Club Barcelona. But my only worry is the issue when you play Felix and Correa, you really have no presence in the penalty box. So that's my only worry.
Can I just ask you while we're at it, how do you think Antoine Griezmann's absence will affect Atleti?
Well, firstly, I think Griezmann's runs off the ball are going to be missed. That means we don't have somebody who runs a lot, or somebody who plays on the shoulder of the last defender. Well, Correa does that, but he mostly likes to play in between the lines, receiving and turning and distributing, and facilitating the attack. So I think not having Griezmann, Atletico misses a lot, because he's one of the intelligent players in his pressing, on the ball, off the ball. I think he was one of the players who caused Liverpool a lot of trouble. Is even Van Dijk. So had difficulties defending against him. So to be honest, not having him is like maybe not having one of your best offensive arsenal when you are playing one of the most important match of the season so far.
Griezmann's absence will definitely be sorely missed, and we're definitely. It's a shame that this happens right when he's starting to look like the old Griezmann, the one that Atletico had before he left for Barca. And yeah, there's just a lot of improvement in his game. So it's a shame that we won't be seeing him tomorrow. But you know, hopefully we can. We can see, you know, more good performances from him as the season progresses. Now, in the game at home, I think two of the most two of the players that stood out the most were João Félix and Rodrigo de Paul. Maxi, what did you think of their performance, and how likely do you think it would be for them to have a similar type of performance? I think Klopp will try to limit them as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So since my family is Italian, I've followed Rodrigo De Paul since his early days in Udinese, and you know, I've banged on that drum for a long time that he's such an underrated player, and I think that he's shown that both at Udinese and Atleti. He's a hard-working player, very creative, and he's a difference maker. So I definitely think that Klopp wants to limit his time on the ball, and as you said, he was brilliant in the first leg. João Félix, I think many people was too fast to turn their backs on him. Maybe yeah. Maybe turning their backs are the wrong term, but ruling him out, let's say that. I think that he's a wonderful player, and I think he showed that in the first leg, and I've not followed Atleti as closely as you have, but when I've seen him this season, I've liked what I've seen pretty much all the time, and I think he's perhaps this is the season where he really really breaks through at Atleti. He had a good first season and all that, but I do think that he just needed time. You know, he was a very young player moving to, you know, of course it's a neighboring country, but it's still a different club, a different culture, different tactics. And Cholo Simeone is he's a player who demands a lot of his. He's a manager who demands a lot of his players, and it's a very intense way he plays. So I think it's something you need to get used to, and I think that. Perhaps João Félix is starting to really adapt to it, and I hope, maybe not tomorrow, but I hope that he will do that.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. João Félix really fighting his feet at the club, and we were seeing it last season. He had a very good first half of the season, but then he started having an ankle injury, so that kind of ruined his second half of the season. So after his surgery in the summer, we're starting to see more of that João Félix. So yeah, he's such a joy to watch, and yeah, we're just very lucky to have this young man. Emmanuel, can you please give us your thoughts about the same question?
Well, basically, I think Maxi has said much on De Paul, especially. He is a player of quality. He struggled a bit during the start of the season. Now he's integrating into the team, and his qualities are on display. I think you tweeted it and said he's like you expected, like a Swiss chocolate in which you know it is good, but when you eat it, it feels more good. So I think we all expect him to bring extra dynamism to Atleti's midfield. But seeing that dynamism contributes so much to Atleti on the ball with his passes between the lines, his true balls over the top, off the ball, he's very aggressive, he wins back the ball. So I think he's going to be a good sign for Atleti. And Cholo said the fact that Cholo even compared him to Veron in the fact that he's a player who offers vertigo with his vision and speed of thought. So having him is great, especially given the price we bought him, and so many teams in the world or in Europe need a player like him, or we need a player like him this summer, but at least we're able to snatch him this summer. So I think the game against Betis really highlighted his importance to Atleti at the moment. And given that he is a player in which he can be pressed, that means he attracts players and maybe can open spaces for others to receive the ball in. So he's a player which I think Klopp will be very wary of, especially given his performance in the first leg against Liverpool. But not having Griezmann, I complain about the fact that Griezmann's runs will be missed. But I remember Correa scoring Atleti's goal against Elche from a Rodrigo de Paul through ball. So I think he's through balls, and hopefully we have runners that will be great. Coming to Felix, I think he has put his injuries behind him and he has moved forward. We are seeing his performances, they are great. Joao Magic, pure talento, all those things are coming out at the moment. So I think we are very lucky that those two guys are in our team. And as for Felix, Cholo talked about the fact that he's become more mature in the sense that he knows when what the team needs and how to offer it, and knows when to do certain things at certain times. Even though Cholo was a little bit annoyed with him for the fact that he gave the ball away in midfield, which led to Real Sociedad's opener against Atleti at the Wanda. So I think those two guys are going to be players in which Klopp are going to make sure that they don't have a lot of time on the ball, or reduce their time on the ball. That will be key for them. But I think the key for Liverpool in that game is Fabinho. If Fabinho is there, then, to be honest, it increases their chances of winning the game by much. But without Fabinho, like what I saw in the Cup game and also what I saw in the game against Brighton and also against Atleti before Fabinho came onto the pitch, I think those two guys are going to cause a lot of problems. But with Fabinho, his timing, his positioning, tracking runners and the rest. So it is having Felix, like I said, having Felix and Rodrigo De Paul in our team is great for us. And hopefully they put on a great show like they did against Betis.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you something, because in the summer when Rodrigo De Paul was rumored to join Atleti, I got some questions about him. And honestly, I think that I have a hard time seeing in world football a player more suited to Cholo Simeone. He's like a very intense player. He leaves his all on the pitch. He's a difference maker. He's a winner. You know, I don't know. It's just something that I feel like he's basically the embodiment of a Cholo Simeone player. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I very much agree with that. I've wanted him for such a long time, and frankly, when I first wanted him, he was a winger at Valencia, but it was very clear that he had so much potential. Though he had, of course, he had some faults, but his transformation at Udinese has been so wonderful. He's very much the closest thing to a perfect midfielder we can have. And the fact that we got him for, I think, 35 million is kind of a steal, really. Like I said, he's got a brilliant passing ability, adds so much creativity to this side. Adds something we've lacked for so long, which is ball progression. Be it with his runs or with his long balls, which he's excellent at both. So he's such a wonderful player, and of course his defensive ability is has to be noted as well. So I'm very delighted with this signing, and and another thing I want to say about him is usually when Atletico sign a player, specifically a midfielder, he struggles a lot. Like we see him for the first season, maybe half season, it depends on the player, but they struggle so much. De Paul is like, he fit in like a hand in a glove. Like it took him like only a month to just start dropping masterclasses. So he's such a special player, and like I said, a perfect Simeone player.
Yeah, it makes me so glad to hear that he's doing so well.
Brilliant. Yeah, let's hope he can add more to that tomorrow. So Maxi, I'm gonna push you for a prediction now. What's your predicted scoreline for tomorrow's match?
I thought about this and I think 2-1 Liverpool. I think if Fabinho plays, I think like Emmanuel said that we have the potential to be even better, but I expect him not to start, so I would say 2-1.
Emmanuel, what do you think?
If Fabinho starts and plays 90 minutes, then maybe a draw, but at the moment I go for 1-2 Atleti win.
It's a crucial match for Atletico, as if Porto win against Milan, then and Atletico don't get a result, then Porto will be in second place. So, yeah, I think it's a very crucial match for Atletico, and we'll just have to wait and see how Atletico react to that. I'm gonna go with the draw for a prediction, mainly because I don't really trust the defense so much without Savic playing. But then again, we do have Jimenez back, so I would go for a boring 1-1 draw. But you know, hopefully Atletico can get a win regardless. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. Maxi, thank you so much for joining us. It was such a blast having you.
Yeah, it's always fun to be on and talk to you guys. It's a pleasure. I hope to be back some way down the line.
Yeah, hopefully. We have so much fun talking with you. So yeah, we'd be very glad to have you on with us again. And of course, thank you, Emmanuel.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure discussing with you, Ata, and Maxi is really a fun guy to speak with. So, like always, if you don't follow him, please do on Twitter, because he covers a lot about European football and not just Liverpool.
Yeah, we can't wait to read that piece about Llorente as well. Can you please, you know, maybe plug it in on the tweet about this episode?
Yeah, of course, and the feeling is mutual. It's so fun to talk to you guys as well. You guys do great work on Twitter too.
Thank you so much, means a lot. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, nunca dejes de creer, and see you in the next episode.
Echando coraje, corazón. Siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará. Yo me voy al Manzanares, al estadio Vicente Calderón, donde millares, los que gustan de un fútbol de emoción, porque luchan como hermanos, defendiendo sus colores, con un fuego noble y sano, derrochando coraje y corazón.
que siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará.